Did you all know that February, the marvelous month of February, is Awareness Month, Awareness Month? You get it? You have different months that you're supposed to be aware of things, and that's the month you're supposed to be aware of Awareness Months. It's fascinating how many things we have set aside for awareness. Things like Pinochle Awareness Month. Some of them are frivolous and some of them are important. There is probably something to celebrate and recognize in every day. Most of them probably can be easily forgotten. Some should never be forgotten. Things like dealing with cancer or muscular dystrophy, or children for that matter. Today is labeled Children's Sabbath. It's not a real solid designation for this Sunday, and maybe this is not quite Children's Awareness Month, but it is important for those who call themselves faithful people of God to be aware of and concerned for children. And as followers of the God of Scripture, Sabbath is one of the most important ways in which we can understand our obligation and our opportunity with children. You see, Sabbath, for all that we talk about, is not necessarily taking Sunday off to do things we enjoy. Sabbath is not necessarily a day when all stores should be closed, except for the one drug fair that was open for prescriptions 24/7 in all of Northern Virginia. No, Sabbath is a gift of God. From the very beginning of Scripture, in the very first story you find in the Bible about creation, Sabbath is what comes after you've done the work. Sabbath is what comes when you have done diligent duty toward your needs and your obligations. It isn't necessarily being lazy. It's taking care of yourself and the things that you have and giving them a rest. And it's God's gift to us, this rest, as the work is also God's gift to us. And when you understand Sabbath in this way, you realize that people who follow Jesus Christ have something to say to a world that believes that it can go for 24/7 nonstop without rest. That it isn't necessarily a good thing that we have electric lights that can go all night long. It's not necessarily a good thing that machinery can be worked all day long and all night long. It isn't even necessarily a good thing for a dairy farm to milk the cows every 8 hours instead of twice a day. When you work something that much, when you go that intensely, there's a cost that will have to be paid and something will break. God has given us a balance. Take care of the work and take some rest. You notice in the scripture reading that you will first read in Genesis is that God didn't work all 24 hours of the day. God did a little bit on day one. Took some time off, did a little bit more work on day two. There are lessons to be learned in this Sabbath. Sabbath comes after the work. Sabbath and work are God's gift. Children are also a gift. They are for us who dare to have children in a world like ours, are a symbol of faith and hope like no other that could be had. To say that we will have a child and take care of a child, to live into the future with this young life, is a gift of God and a symbol of faith. And so it's important for us to think about our children as God's gift and the Sabbath as God's gift. Why? Well, think about it. In our world, how many ways are children harmed by violence? Just this week, planned and intended violence has been carried out against children by forces that are evil and perverted and beyond our understanding. Just this week, children have been victims of war, a phenomenon that has really kind of just taken over in the 20th century. We talk about how the human person, the human being, has progressed in its great things, and yet the 20th century and the 21st century have become times when war has ravaged children in horrible ways. In some parts of our world, children are used as weapons against others. In some places, they're held up as shields against attack. And even in our own nation, we have refined and made our children aficionados of violence through the use and the glorification of harm and violence in video games. And it's not just the violence of our nation and of our world that hurts and harms children. It is our busyness, our unwillingness to imagine that a child needs time to play, to go outside and stick their hand in mud and get dirty, to discover the turtle or the crayfish in the creek, to be unsupervised for just one moment in a field of grass, to let the bugs annoy them and the sky beckon them. Children need time to play. I learned lots of lessons in the woods behind my house as a kid in Alexandria. Jimmy Gunther and I built an airplane on top of one of the ridges in that wood. It was great. Man, that thing was going to soar. I learned some engineering, or lack thereof, as we pushed it down the hill and went tumbling. The bumps and bruises were worth every moment of the time that we spent imagining how we would fly. We were more successful in our venture to build boats because we lived next to Fruit Growers Express, and they built refrigerator cars for the shipping of orange juice. And in refrigerator cars, you need to have insulation, and the foam insulation parts would be all over the yard, and we would sneak into the freight yard and we would retrieve foam parts and we would build boats. And we'd float them on the creek. It was fun. I don't know what would happen to us today if we... Well, first we'd be taken in for stealing the parts and stuff from the freight yard. Oh, well. Kids need time to play. And it's not just the kind of organized, disciplined play that comes from playing soccer and sports, doing dance or gymnastics. There's an intensity and a purpose to that that somehow takes the play away from them. It's the time to have to live with yourself by yourself, to know that you don't have to be entertained by parents or TV or video games or whatever, that you finally learn to live with yourself and find that, you know, there's some good things about yourself and there's some bad things about yourself, and you try to accentuate the good and deal with the bad. It's not a bad thing to be alone sometimes, for then you begin to discover both your goodness and your propensity. And you can float if you get enough foam from the freight yard. And you begin to learn about your world. And as you begin to play stickball in the streets with kids that you didn't know before, you begin to discover that people are kind of alike. And you also begin to discover there's some people that you ought not to and should not and don't want to play with again. An important lesson. Our propensity for being so busy hauling our kids to different activities makes everybody dependent, tired, and somewhat frantic. Children in our world also need to be taken care of and given the prospect of growing old. Part of me wonders why there's any question that we would want to deprive any child of the very basic medical care available. I wonder, and I don't know what the statistics are, but I would be ashamed if it was true that we spent more money trying to keep old people young than trying to get young people to grow old. I wonder. Our children are in danger. And we've always known that, because this world is not a friendly world. The responsibility of raising them is beyond that of parents or church or extended family. It is any adult's responsibility to take care of children in the ways that are available to each of us. That doesn't mean everybody should be a parent, and not everybody is suited to be a babysitter in the nursery. There are some of you I don't want to see down there. But that's okay. We know our limits, and we understand the importance of children. As a United Methodist congregation, we have been taking care of children through our apportionments and our giving to places like Agape Center and Henry Fork Service Center. We're aware of, in our faith community, of the needs of children, and we seek to talk about them in ways that we can be effective advocates for children. As a congregation, we have a safe, a secure, and on top of that, an outstanding preschool. It is the policy of this church that our children will be protected at all times by the presence of two or more adults. Not restricted in their play, but watched over in such a way that danger, at least as best as we can do it and manage it, are kept at bay. As individuals, people in this congregation have routinely committed themselves to prayer, to advocacy, and to action on behalf of and for the benefit of children. We have Girl Scout leaders, PTA members, coaches in basketball teams. Anything that we might do for a child that engages and gives them an opportunity to know goodness, to know honor, to know integrity, to know the kind of character that will help them thrive. Oh, there's much going on. You can see it in each of your lives, your care for children. It's as if I'm preaching to the choir. But maybe, just maybe, we can begin to do some more. Are we not led, as we recognize the horrible things that some children must endure, to begin to study and reflect about peacemaking? In Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Could it be that we could learn more about how to implement peacekeeping and reconciliation conflict resolution and restoration, developing the kind of attitudes and skills that would make for peaceful resolution of conflicts rather than violent. Do we need to examine our lives once more to see if we haven't somehow gotten too busy, committed to too much, and are just too tired to love, to engage, and to be in relationship with our families, our children, our neighbors, and our congregations? Maybe it's time we examine what we are doing to ourselves in our increasing technological sophistication. Maybe it's time to define progress differently from innovation and think about progress as growth in love, emotional capacity to care, of courage and bravery in the face of challenge, of commitment to work and rest and balance. And perhaps it's time for us to become vocal advocates for health in the wholeness of what health can be. That each of us would think about our lives and what it makes to live a healthy life, dwelling more on preventive medicine than in plastic or cosmetic surgery. To think more long term rather than in the short term. And Lord knows, you take one look at me and you know I got to do some thinking here. And to understand that Jesus was expressing on God's behalf what I would call a preferential option for children. The disciples were so adult-like. Jesus has no time for you. Go away. You can just hear it. In all the self-importance that comes from being on the inner circle and being capable and being where the action is. Oh, go away, child. Jesus has no time for you. To which Jesus says, come on, let them come. And he blesses them. The question always will be for us, because we have as a tendency as adults to find our own amusements and our own activities far more important than what children are interested in. The challenge will always be, are we being an impediment to children coming to Christ? And in so being, are we so near Christ as Christ has called us to be? Christ never turned away a child. And for us to be faithful to that very saying, we are called to turn to our children and give them some rest, and above all things, love them into adults that love God, that love each other, and love the children that they will be blessed with in the future. We've made a good start. Your witness is strong. It's exemplary. But it's come to the point where this advocacy for children almost needs to be a way of life to combat the horrendous things that happen to them on a daily basis, here, abroad, in rich households and in poor households. Let us bless the children and give them some rest. Let us pray.